Hello everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy, today on January 27th of 2022. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
We're here to be talking about some anime we've been watching, some of which is on Toonami. So, much like when we watch it live, though, before we get to dessert, we have to eat our vegetables. So, we'll go quickly into episode 10 of Blade Runner Black Lotus, in which, So, they were going to try to get rid of L's false memories, but it required getting rid of real ones, too, maybe, or not? I was a little confused by that. The big thing is that it turns out the guy who's been helping her, the whole thing was actually just this convoluted scheme to manipulate her into killing this guy, the guy that they killed, I think, an episode or two ago. And then there's action and attacks and stuff. And honestly, the second half of this episode is a major blur for me.
Yeah. I don't really have many thoughts on this.
Yeah. We've gotten, that's the big, thing. Yeah, not much else to do. So, we'll move on then.
Mm-hmm.
Right into Assassination Classroom, episode 27. So, one of the people in the class, Yuma Isogai, who you might miss hear as Isekai.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm stealing your jokes.
Yeah.
but he was so he's working part time at a restaurant, which you're not supposed to be doing according to the school rules. So they end up basically making this sort of bet over. But he gets caught by, I can't remember his name, the son of the principal guy. And then he decides to, so he's like, okay, we'll make a bet. And if you lose, then you have to do what I say or something like that. And if I win, then my father will find out about this. And they do a pole-toppling event and they end up going up against each other. But the main characters manage to win despite some sort of cheating by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like by filling it up with a bunch of like really strong exchange students. And, yeah, that's, basically the episode, a dearth of, assassinations. They focused on the classroom part.
Well, not really even the classroom.
You're right. they focused on the class part.
Yeah.
As in school, you know, class, because it's at the school. And it's also about class, as in, you know, social class, because, you know, he's working at the job because he needs to make ends meet. And I don't even know if that pun works in Japanese, but I'm going with it.
And this pole toppling thing, I've never seen this before. Have you?
I don't. I feel like I might have seen it in an anime at some point, but I don't remember what.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty good concept at first, and then the whole cheating thing kind of made me lose interest. But, yeah, that was an interesting thing to have in this episode. I don't understand why they're adding all these characters whenever we haven't really gotten enough development of the ones we already have. And, you know, like, I can barely name five people in Nagisa's classroom. And, yeah, I just wish there was more fleshing out of the people we had instead of this add a new character every week thing.
Hmm.
You know?
Well, I think it is a matter of trying to give extra focus to all the kids in the class. Because, you know, one of the complaints I've seen about, say, My Hero Academia is that, well, you've got this class, and then most of them never do anything. And then despite that, the author's like, I'm going to add a second class of characters that we're going to focus on and add all these other things. And it's just, you're like thinking, well, you kind of, maybe you should have just had fewer people in the class in My Hero Academia, or for this series, actually, for that matter. But yeah, it was a kind of fun episode, but not really too much else to say about it. Okay. So we got in that. Then we move on to Made in Abyss episode 2. So the characters are trying so first we get some exposition about the abyss and stuff. The basic thing is that if you go into the abyss and then come back, the deeper you go, the worse the effects of coming back are, to the point where if you go in too far and you come back, then you basically presumably like die and stuff. And we find out the main character was with her, her mother was there going down or something. I can't remember exactly how it went down, but the point was that there's that, but she was able to come back because she was protected by something or other, and it was a matter of, I'm sorry, I'm doing such a bad mumbling on this. Right, she returned the main character, Riko, to the surface, and then just went back down, and then she got a document from her, which is a note that says that she's waiting at the bottom of the abyss. Okay, that was a very scattered plot description. I'm sorry, I'm sometimes not good at them. Did I miss anything important?
No, but I feel that if this show had been more interesting, you would have had an easier time explaining the plot instead of this big convoluted mess that it was, you know?
It made perfect sense when I watched it. I'm just having trouble remembering it. But yeah, we got that. I did read a little about what the series is about, and I know that this is like the part where the plot kind of kicks off. So, we'll be getting into that next episode, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we have the thing that's back onto Toonami, One Piece. Episodes 517 to 518. When we last left off, I think we were in the 300s, from what I recall. So, yeah, that's a pretty big jump. So, basically, to explain what happened quick, after we left off, the crew, a bunch of stuff happened. The crew got separated. Luffy told them that they'd be meeting. Managed to convey a message to them. Hey, how about we do manga? I mean, people love time skips, don't they? Let's do a time skip. Let's just spend the next 2 years training, and then we'll meet back again here to continue our adventure. And so this episode is basically about them showing up to the place, and some of them are encountering this group that's pretending to be them. And other than that, it is just kind of the characters meeting up.
That was both episodes?
Yeah. I mean, there's that, but I mean, I don't want to, like, just go through every single encounter and stuff. Like, oh, Nami and Usopp met each other. Or, oh, these guys met Chopper and thought, and he gullibly thought the fake ones were the real ones. And, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what was it with these fake straw hats? Like, what was their plan?
I guess it was, I assume it was just that they were trying to take advantage of the name recognition by pretending to be them to get people to join up with them. It seems a kind of half-baked plan, but
yeah, because they're all wanted. So mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't seem like that would be a good person to impersonate, or wanted people for, you know, how many million that's on Luffy's head or whatever, you know. I mean, I don't exactly see the point in impersonating them, but, well, it was a little humorous, so I'll give it that.
Yeah, it was some parts were funny. It is this, I could definitely tell. So people say that this is like the part where they really start kind of stretching out episodes because for some reason they decided we won't do filler episodes, but we can't catch up with the manga, so we have to stretch stuff out. And the thing is, it's not like they just add like some big thing in there to waste time. It's more like they just add little things throughout the entire episode. Like, they make things just take a slight bit longer to happen. They maybe slow down like a combat a little or something, all that stuff. And it makes it so that when you watch it, you know, when you're in the process of watching it, you're fine. But then when you get to the end of the episode, you kind of realize, wait, not that much happened. So, yeah, that was the thing. But, I mean, it's not the worst place to come back, I suppose, after a break, because this was after a time skip in-universe, so it's already kind of a bit of a reset. So, there's that. And, let's see, I was curious, because you were asking for what Luffy's bounty was at this point. I am not, I believe it's at, I'm trying to look it up, I think it's at about 500 million berries at this point.
And what are berries?
I have a unit of currency in the One Piece universe. So, okay, I can't remember, yeah, it looks like it's about 400 million at this point. Well, I think it was last dated to be 300, but then I think in a short while it's revealed to be up to 400 million. So the point is it's there, and that's the unit of currency, but I have absolutely no idea how much it's supposed to actually be worth. I mean, for all we know, the exchange rate to dollars is terrible, and 400 million is actually the equivalent of, I don't know, like $36.
Or maybe they're being paid in Dogecoin, you know?
If I had to guess what we're supposed to do, I would assume these numbers would be kind of viewed as equivalent to Japanese yen. So you, in that case, to convert it to dollars, you just divide it by 100, which would bring us to 4 million. So if we assume we're supposed to take them to be about a yen, then that would be $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's never quite clearly explained, I think, how much a berry actually is.
Okay.
So, or I think belly, as some places transliterate it, but I think it's usually the official one is berry. But for some, the One Piece fandom wiki for some reason calls it belly. So I don't know. Maybe it'll tell me how. Let me see if it, I'm looking at the wiki all of a sudden. I'm curious as to whether it gives me any indications as to how much stuff actually is. Let's see. He apparently said that yeah, I'm looking at some numbers to try to figure it out. But Okay, so there's a part where, right, way back when Arlong was telling Nami she had, you know, to buy back her village from him, she had to raise 100 million berries, and it said that it took her 8 years to almost amass that amount, but then he betrayed her, and then, you know, well, then Luffy, you know, beat Arlong up and everything, and she joined him and all that stuff. This is way back in the day, but so that would indicate that so if based on that, it would presume we're going to actually, I have no idea how the calculations for this work. Let's move on to something else.
Okay.
This is my problem. I think of something, I look it up, and I try to figure it out while I'm talking and waste a bunch of time. Okay. Anything else to say about it?
No, but you just have to remember that my knowledge on One Piece is restricted to just what we've seen on Toonami since we started the podcast. So I know a lot less than you do about it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff here that gives amount of money based on. Glancing through this, I think it would not be unfair to consider a berry about equivalent to a yen, which in which case, yeah, just take the number and divide it by 100 and you get the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice that yens convert so conveniently to dollars because they're always mm-hmm. worth about a cent.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all of our Toonami stuff then. So we can move on to the other stuff. Right, we've gotten so we got Bobobo episode 6. So basically the characters go to this place, a lot of crazy stuff happens for quite a while. But eventually one of the Hair Hunt troops tries to hit them with a hair loss beam, which hits Beauty. So they decide they have to go over to their base to get the cure. And conveniently, there's a train that leads right there. And then they get on the train. They end up having a fight. And they're on their way to try to do that. And we... and the episode in what might be the single least fan servicey bath scene I've ever seen in anime.
I love that whole scene on the train there. Whenever Beauty kept bringing out like a piece of celery,
mm-hmm.
he was yeah. like, "Yeah, that's my hammer," you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really funny. That whole scene, I like that a lot.
Yeah, that was probably the best part of the episode. The first half I thought was I found a lot of the first half kind of tedious. It was just like random stuff happens, you know, and it just kept doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the series is always at its best when it's having the silly stuff happening in the context of some kind of fight. So yeah, that's great when Don Patch trying to fight and he just has this green onion that he claims is a Don Patch sword.
Yeah. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. You have anything else to mention? Personally, though, I think my favorite joke was how they keep referring to Don Patch as our snack food. Okay. And, yeah, also the fake recap, where the recap just does not describe the previous episode at all was good. So, yeah, that's that for that episode. I guess we'll move on to something with, probably a little more plot to talk about. Episode 4, Ascendance of a Bookworm. This is episode 4, right? Yeah, we're on 4. So, what we've got is Mine wants to go to get Clay in the forest to write stuff in. And, But, you know, she's considered too weak, so she has to, you know, get stronger and all of that stuff, you know, and also going to a learn-how-to-write class and such. There's a bunch there. They ultimately, she's able to get stronger, so they go to the forest, and she's able to get the clay tablet stuff, except then, well, the first time some of the kids mistake it as something you jump on, so they get destroyed. Then the rain destroys the next one, and then it's all great with the last one, except for when they try to burn it to make it engraved, and then they blow up.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically, yeah, this show is, I kind of have to wonder, was this like an inspiration for Dr. Stone? Because a light novel, the light novel came out before Dr. Stone did.
Yeah, it really does feel like the same. So I gotta be honest, except this whole thing about her being like too weak to do things, like, okay, that's a little different, but, most of this just feels like a rehash of Dr. Stone.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I was watching it on Crunchyroll, and I looked at the comments for the episode. I think the first or second one was saying, "Wow, this show is a lot like Dr. Stone." So yeah, I do wonder though, because she's got all this knowledge and she's able to make this stuff, I'm kind of thinking, you know, you might be able to make some money with all of this knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
By inventing things. So I don't know. It's like the previous episode in that it was better than the first two, but at the same time I'm kind of waiting for more of a direction for the series.
Yeah.
Which, again, I have to admit, it took Dr. Stone something like 7 episodes to get to, 7 or 8 episodes to get to a more real direction for the plot. So, you know, I'll give it some more time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I wonder when we're going to get to the magic stuff, because we know magic's in this world, apparently. We saw that at the start, so when do we get to it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Move on.
Yep.
All right. So we have finally Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works episode 3. In this episode, so Ilya shows up. She refers to Shiro as Big Brother again, and doesn't really explain it, and I don't think he asks about it, which is a little surprising. Or did he? I don't remember him asking. Maybe I'm misremembering. Well, anyway, she has Berserker, so Berserker and Saber end up fighting. Archer isn't really able to do much to him, to Berserker, so it's mostly just those two fighting. Rin and Ilya end up going up against their own fight against each other. Turns out Ilya's really strong. And basically, they apparently manage to beat Berserker, but he regenerates himself or something. And then Ilya says, "Well, you know, we've still got what, 20 episodes left. I'll just leave for now."
Yeah, my big question was, what made Ilya turn out to be so evil whenever her mother was clearly a good person, you know?
Well, her mother, I can't remember how old Ilya was at the end of Fate, Zero, but she didn't, remember that her mother died,
right.
And her father wasn't able to see her, so there's like a 10-year gap or something, I think, between this and that. I feel like they said 10 at some point, so that's a lot of time to be brought up by totally different people.
Yeah, you're right about that. I just find it kind of weird, given that, you know, well, I guess most people wouldn't be watching this after Fate Zero, so I don't know.
I feel like they did. It is my understanding that this, when they adapt, because they, while Fate Zero, when the source material, the light novel series came out after the game, but when this, so then Studio UFO Table, I think that's what they're called, made Fate Zero, and then they made this afterwards. So there is a certain degree of expectation that you're familiar with Fate Zero, which is why, you know, they waited until like the third episode to actually explain the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I assume we'll see more of that. Did it give much of an explanation as to why she is this way in the original series, the original anime?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In fact, yeah, I didn't remember her being, I don't know. Maybe I just don't remember well.
She might have had not had a big role in the original series, because I know a bunch of stuff is like in the original series compared to this or the Heaven's Feel movies, they're all different routes of the game, so different characters get different amounts of focus in each one. I think in the original game, Ilya was originally going to act, there was actually going to be a route with her, but they had a deadline, so they had to kind of to get the game out, so they apparently sort of cut that and just integrated some of it into the Sakura route, which is why a lot of people say that was in the game kind of, not that a lot of people didn't really like the route from what I understood, because it kind of had to just mash things together. Supposedly the movie adaptation fixed a bunch of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going by what I've heard people say. What for all I know, all this is totally wrong. Oh, and Gilgamesh shows up. We see him with Kirei. I don't know what his. I assume he's going operating under some kind of a fake name right now, but it hasn't been revealed yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, I guess that's the anime stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Astro top threes.
Oh, I didn't think about mine yet. You should go first.
Oh, okay. And yeah, I always forget about this stuff also. Let me think. For me, I think I would put it into, well, my first place pick is really easy. The other ones are just a little harder to figure out. Okay, I think I'll put, let me just see, do I put it in, yeah, okay, sure, I'll put Ascendance of a Bookworm in third place, One Piece in second place, and then Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works in first.
Yeah, mine would be pretty similar, except I got Bobobo in third place, and, the other two the same, so, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Okay. All right, so we got that. I remember last week I suggested that I said, oh, well, I'm going to finish watching all these new anime series because I decided to try to do that, and then I'll talk about them this week. We'll do it next week because there's still a few I need to see a few more episodes of.
Yeah, there was one I'm interested in. I got advertising emails, and so like seemed to look like it was pretty promising. It was called Love of Kill, so I'm just wondering if you saw that one at all.
I saw the first episode and I didn't particularly care for it, but so I did really continue with it, but at the same time there's so many shows and I'm like, I gotta drop anything that doesn't really get my interest the first time. But I mean, I need to mention, because for a bunch of these I've only like seen one or two episodes of, so that's the issue with, because normally whenever I watch an anime is after it's been out for a while, so I can easily see people saying, oh well, this show, you know, it was off to a weak start, but it got really great. I'll just say I didn't think too much of the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my opinion on that. But maybe because of that, maybe I'll check out another one or two to see. But yeah.
I don't know. I just saw it from the advertisement. I was like, okay, that sounds pretty interesting. But
the two that I currently consider to be the best would, I might as well say that. My favorite so far has been Miss Kuroitsu from the Monster Development Department and In the Land of Leodale. Those are currently my top two.
Mm-hmm.
That might change by next week, but those are the ones that I found myself enjoying the most.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'll probably unload with a lot of information then, and then people will be like, "Why talk about all this stuff?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anything to talk about anime before we move on to discussing The Amazing Race?
No, that's about it.
All right, so we got The Amazing Race, episode 4 of season 33. So I think I commented on it a little, how last episode it was, okay, the team that lost first lost first, and the team that lost second, because, you know, they both came back, got second to last place. Well, that team lost this week.
Yeah, but it wasn't a coincidence, though. As we found out that not shown on the episode last week was a speed bump that they both of the losing teams had to do, and it was never shown on the episode, so that's why they fell so far behind.
I didn't see that. I didn't hear about that. They didn't mention a speed bump, so I just assumed that because it was a reset and they were brought back, there wasn't a speed bump.
Yeah, we found that out, you know, from blogs covering the show. So that was that at least made it make sense why they were behind, but they sort of shown it. I mean, And the things they did seem kind of, I forget what it was exactly, but whenever I heard it, I was like, oh, that would have been pretty cool to watch, but they just mustn't have had time, so they cut it out. So, they had that speed bump to get back into the game, and
I'm a little surprised that they didn't show it then. There was quite a while ago, there's a season where we really didn't see the speed bump, but that was because it was weird. So basically there's this team and it was like they were way behind, they could not complete this one challenge, and like they just gave up, and because it had gotten late at that point, so they, you know, go to the pit stop, they take a like 4-hour penalty for that, so and then they had to do the speed bump. The problem is they were so far behind everyone else that they barely even show them in the episode because the other teams had presumably just completed it by the time they even got to that country. So it just kind of showed some quick stuff of them going through some stuff in the speed bump. And, you know, you see like 3 seconds and you're like, what are they doing? What was this? And then they get eliminated. So yeah. I can't remember the specifics of that one, but yeah. So
I predicted very early on during this episode that it would be a non-elimination leg because of the fact that they have bungee jumping. And it seems anytime they have bungee jumping, that means it's a non-elimination leg. So my family was like, wow, he actually predicted it. And I'm like, that wasn't that hard to predict.
Yeah, there's more. And there's going to be more non-elimination legs this season than normal because because 4 teams left and 2 came back. So there's going to be 2 more non-elimination legs this season, I think, than normal. So, So yeah, I think though. Let me actually double check something, because I think we've got 10 legs. I thought we had the same number of legs here as previous seasons, but maybe it looks like we've got one leg fewer. So than last season. So yeah, maybe there will be, I think, one more non-elimination leg of some kind. So I guess we'll see what we got there. Yeah, the bungee jumping challenge, that's just, I don't know, that just almost doesn't really feel like that much of a challenge. I mean, like, it could be psychologically for some people if you got a fear of heights. But other than that, it's just like you just get strapped in and you drop down and then you come back up. And it seems like unless you refuse to do it, everyone takes about the same amount of time for it.
Yeah.
There was in a previous season, because I double checked to look it up, there was a part where they were supposed to go down some really long water slide, and one of the persons apparently had a simultaneous fear of water and fear of heights and would not do it. They just outright refused, and their like team member was like trying to get them to do it, and apparently they were there for like about 45 minutes before like they just gave up and just said, well, and another team passed them in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's the one team, the guy couldn't do it because he was overweight. Mm. So the woman had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Despite apparently being afraid of heights, but she did it. So that was simple enough. I do remember when he's like, well, yeah, she went and did it. No hesitation. There's nothing I'll be able to criticize her for. And then, of course, we see him like criticizing her performance in the other tasks. So, let's see. Was there any other comment? Anything else to say about it?
I think Lulu and Lala are going to win. That's my winner prediction, though I'm cheering for Raquel and Kayla. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Looking at it, oh, Ryan and Dusty, they have performed exceptionally well so far. They've got first and second in each leg. I mean, I knew they had gotten multiple first, but I didn't realize their record right now is second, first, second, first, first.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, of course, you got to be a bit careful, because there's that one season where Rob and Amber took first the first four legs and then were eliminated in the next.
Was that the season where, like, someone was injured and Rob just kept on going?
No, that was a later season.
Okay.
They those two were, like, in three seasons of the show.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we got all that. Yeah, you might be right. I do think just because in the previous episode they noted two teams mentioning it would be great if a team of two women won, which just may almost broadcast to me that at the very least there's one of those teams is going to be in the final leg.
Yeah, and the fact that they're spending so much time on their grandmother who died, you know, like they kept on saying, like, oh, our grandmother was here with us and that. So it's kind of editing like that makes me think they're going to win.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. I don't think there's anything else I had to really say. So yep, that's basically that. All right, is that it then?
Yep.
Okay, well, now that we've gotten through all of that, we've talked about our anime, we've talked about The Amazing Race, and we'll see you next week, probably.
Bye, me.